dumb puns in Alma 30, a Mesoamerican twist on Korihor's talionic punishment. An article by Mark Allen Wright and Neil Rapalai, published in BYU Studies, Volume 62, Issue 3.
Evidence for the use of both puns and talionic, or reciprocal punishment, by peoples of the Book of Mormon is well attested. To complement previous research in these areas, which focused primarily on data from the ancient Near East, we argue that Mesoamerican wordplay in legal systems may also be evident in the account of Korihor recorded in Alma 30. Recognizing these connections to the text's plausible cultural and linguistic context illuminates why Korihor receives the punishment he is given. It was no arbitrary consequence, but one tailored to his accusations in an irony-laden narrative that would have been easily recognized by an ancient Mesoamerican audience. Puns and wordplay in Mesoamerica. Punning is very common and highly valued in both verbal and visual arts in Mesoamerica. Regarding the literature of the K'iche' Maya, Alan Christensen notes that, quote, "Particularly with regard to names and archaic words used in ceremonial contexts, K'iche's derive a host of meanings from them, including puns and other wordplays," end quote. As Frederico Navarrete observed, quote, "Punning had deep roots in Mesoamerican cosmology, which considered that no similitude was accidental and that beings in different cosmic levels, including signs and images, were magically related to and influenced by their counterparts," end quote. Among the modern Maya, a person's ability to incorporate wordplay into verbal sparring matches is considered a gauge of, quote, "social maturity, linguistic competence, intelligence, and political potential," end quote. Even images of violence and human sacrifice, quote, "and their sardonic and ironic twists within the Mesoamerican worldview," end quote. Not entirely unlike the gallows humor or dark comedy favored by many late-night talk show hosts of our own day. Ralph Royes, one of the great Mesoamerican ethnographer linguists of the 20th century, notes that Maya ritual language incorporates, quote, "frequent play on words of the same or somewhat similar sound, but with different meanings. They abound in puns, near puns, and sometimes very bad puns. The Maya language lends itself to such a device, for it contains many homonyms and other similar sounding words," end quote. In short, punning and related wordplay permeate Mesoamerican art and discourse. Talionic punishments in Mesoamerican legal systems. John W. Welch noted that talionic retributions are, quote, "often related symbolically to the offense," end quote, in biblical law. Like those of the ancient Near East, Mesoamerican legal systems also often affixed talionic punishments to certain crimes. For example, Aztec women who lied were punished by having their lips slit, because it was from their lips that the lying words flowed. Among the Maya of Yucatan, the phrase "unabinach uta" means "yovio o cayo sobre el eldonio o mal que intentaba o procuraba para otro o pagó la pena del talión," roughly, quote, "the damage or evil that he tried to bring about for someone else came raining down on him, that is, he paid the talionic penalty," end quote. Legal historian John M. Seuss found that, in the ancient capital city of Texcoco, quote, "talion law was applied to the false witness, probably much in the manner found in the Old Testament," see Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 19. "He was punished as the accused would have been had he been guilty of the offense charged," end quote. While criminal law was generally harsh across the ancient world, Seuss found that, quote, "uniquely, the Aztec state would accept ecclesiastical confession and penance in lieu of its own punishment," end quote. Space does not permit a more complete discussion here, but the concepts underlying talionic punishments were widespread in ancient Mesoamerica. Struck dumb within a Mesoamerican worldview. To understand the penalty assigned to Korihor for his crimes, we also need to delve briefly into a Mesoamerican etiology of disease and deformity. Across the region, the people attributed any illness, disease, deformity, and even death to supernatural forces, and interpreted them as signs of divine disfavor. As Aztec scholar Francis Burden states, quote, Beyond this world of mortal physical punishments lay a vast world of supernatural sanctions. These punishments, such as disease and deformity, most commonly applied to religious infractions and were carried out during a person's lifetime. End quote. Ritual specialists were both feared and revered in Mesoamerica because their powers could be summoned to either inflict illness, injury, or death on an enemy, or to cure those who had been so afflicted. A colonial-era Yucatecan manuscript known as the Ritual of the Bacabs contains 42 incantations used by Maya shamans, many of which are devoted to the healing of various maladies, both spiritual and physical. Royce found that, quote, "Nearly one-third of the Bacabs manuscript is devoted to incantations for various so-called seizures. And the term is tankas, a contraction of tamakas, which is the name of a number of complaints. Among these are madness, frenzy, numbness, spasm, and falling sickness. And falling sickness is defined as a frenetic malady which strikes dumb, crazes, and deafens the person who has it." End quote. Significantly, being struck dumb is explicitly associated with other symptoms, such as deafness, madness, and frenzy throughout the ritual of the Bacabs. The phrase tenchub achi, or slight variance, which Royce conceptually translates as "I curse you," occurs some 19 times throughout the manuscript. However, the phrase literally translates to "I cause your mouth to grunt," or "mutter inaudibly, grumble to yourself, babble indistinctly," or "I make your mouth small," or "I deform your mouth." In short, to curse someone is to strike them dumb. Semantic overlap of key terms in Mayan languages. The association of madness and frenzy with muteness or deafness is widely attested to in Mayan languages due to the use of identical or closely homophonous terms for them. In Mopan, the root bes means mute, dumb, but also silly, foolish, and achbes means either mute person or fool. In Pokomchi and Kokchkel, the root is mem, and the associations are identical. In Kiche, the verb mantatach means to be deaf, and mantatach means to be an idiot, the only difference being the glottal stop in the latter. The exact same connotations hold true for other Mayan languages such as Chol and Tzotzil. In Yucatec Mayan, Akchut means enmudecer, to strike dumb, as well as tonto, loco, lunatico, and demente, silly, crazy, lunatic, and demented, or deranged. In classic Mayan, Stela 24 from Naranjo, circa 702 AD, describes Lady Six Sky with the epithet Achnun, most likely meant to identify her as a foreign-speaking woman, but more literally meaning a person who speaks poorly. According to Martha J. Macri, the Mayan root nun was a loanword related to nontli, mute, in Nahuatl, and was used to refer to a person who did not know the local language or spoke poorly. It could also refer to a coarse, unlearned person, or even someone who is ignorant, stupid, lazy, retarded. Its use to identify foreigners may go back to as early as the 4th century AD, when a foreign ruler named Yashnun Ayin was installed at Tikal. Ironically, it was evidently used as a mark of prestige or status by foreign ruling elites. There is evidence that non-Maya groups also use the terms for muteness in derogatory ways. For instance, the Xinka, non-Mayan-speaking neighbors of the Kokchkel, used the K'iche in loanword mem to also mean crazy. The traditions of Kokchikel also tell of an unidentified foreign group that they called the Nonoalka Solpiti, a name based on the Nahuatl loanwords meaning mute, nontli, and stupid, idiot, crazy, Solpiti. A final lexical item from Yucatec Mayan worth highlighting here is Wayak, which means all of the following: symbol or sign, prophecy, prediction, dream, visionary dream, fantasy or illusion, or dreamed-up image. The root of the word, why, likewise has a wide variety of meanings, including perpiciones como entre sueños, to see visions as though in dreams, but also hechizar, to bewitch. Furthermore, when the agentive ach, meaning he of, is added to why, it means brujo, nigromantico, encantador, witch, necromancer, enchanter. And there's a sub-entry in the Cuauhtemoc dictionary for Akhuay Xibalpa, hombre que hablaría con el demonio, man who speaks with the devil. A Mesoamerican twist on Corahor's talionic punishment. This brings us to Alma 30. Corahor, the Antichrist, has a number of words or phrases that are unique to him, all of them derogatory. Frenzied mind, derangement of your minds, silly, foolish ordinances, and ancient priest. Corahor declares that the Nephite belief in Christ was, quote, the effect of a frenzied mind, and this derangement of your minds comes because of the traditions of your fathers, which lead you away into a belief of things which are not so, end quote. See Alma chapter 30, verse 16. He mockingly and repeatedly referred to Nephite beliefs as foolish, see Alma chapter 30, verses 13, 14, 23, and 27, as well as vain, see Alma chapter 30, verse 13, and silly, see Alma chapter 30, verse 31, all of which fall under the various meanings ascribed to Ach-Chu'uch. Korhor also contends that the priests keep the people down by, quote, their dreams, and their whims, and their visions, and their pretended mysteries, end quote. And Korahor repeatedly demands that Alma show unto him a sign. See Alma chapter 30, verses 28, 43, 45, and 48. All of these concepts, as noted above, are covered by the word wayak. It is perhaps important that the words silly, frenzied, derangement, and whims are unique to Korahor. They appear nowhere else in the Book of Mormon. Likewise, being struck dumb as a sign and a punishment is also unique to Korahor. Even Korahor's confession plays off the root of Wayak, and he states that, quote, the devil hath deceived me, end quote. See Alma chapter 30, verse 53, essentially identifying himself as an Ahuay Xibalpa. Furthermore, after his confession, quote, he besought that Alma should pray unto God that the curse might be taken from him, end quote. See Alma chapter 30, verse 54, suggesting that he expected his ecclesiastical confession to replace his talionic punishment, as would have been the case in Aztec law. The confluence of these factors within a single narrative unit suggests to us the presence of both intentional and meaningful Mesoamerican wordplay and parallelism. Maya poetics make use of a variety of parallelism: grammatical, lexical, morphological, syntactic, semantic, paradigmatic, and syntagmatic. Lexical parallelism, quote, refers to the vocabulary and sets of words used in the organization of a parallelism, end quote. Whereas in paradigmatic or syntagmatic parallelism, quote, one thought can substitute for the other by means of repetition, periphrasis, synonymy, and antithesis, end quote. While we lack the original text of the Book of Mormon, one could almost argue for the possibility of lexical parallelism in Alma 30, since so many Mayan languages use the exact same word to mean both dumb and foolish, frenzied, and so forth. But even lacking a copy of the plates, we can confidently consider these examples of paradigmatic parallelism. In sum, Korahor mocks the Nephites for relying on wayak in its sense of dreams and visions, but demands a wayak in its sense of sign before he will believe. He ridicules the Nephites for being Ach-Chu'uch in its sense of silly, foolish, frenzied, and deranged, and then is cursed to become Ach-Chu'uch himself in the sense of being struck dumb. When viewed through a Mesoamerican lens, the interplay between puns and talionic justice in Alma 30 becomes deeply ironic, perhaps even a bit sardonic. Korahor's punishment fits his crime like a glove. He is cursed to become the very things he falsely and derisively accused the Nephites of being.
About the authors. Mark Allen Wright earned his B.A. in anthropology at UCLA and his M.A. and Ph.D. in anthropology, with a subfield of specialization in Mesoamerican archaeology, from UC Riverside. He has conducted research in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and Belize. Dr. Wright was an associate professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University and a past associate editor of the Journal of Book of Mormon Studies at the Neil A. Maxwell Institute for Religious Scholarship. Neil Rapalai is the director of research for Scripture Central, where he researches on a wide range of topics related to the historical and cultural context of Restoration Scripture, particularly the Book of Mormon. He has been published by BYU Studies, the Interpreter Foundation, Greg Coford Books, and Covenant Communications. This is an audio production of BYU Studies, read for you by Daniel Summersday and Emily Wells. BYU Studies publishes scholarly insights informed by the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. For access to additional articles, essays, and more, please visit byustudies.byu.edu.